Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Father Joseph Mary. Today we'll be talking about the Catholic Church in Africa, the history, growth, and challenges of the Church there. Father Maurice Agbo-Ebi is professor of philosophy and theology at St. John's Seminary in Boston, and has also taught on Christianity in Africa at Boston College. Father Valentine Iheanacho is a member of the Missionary Society of St. Paul and a research fellow at the University of Free State in South Africa, having as his area of research Christianity in Africa. George Wernkar has been EWTN's regional marketing manager for Africa for the past 13 years and has traveled extensively across the continent of Africa. So the first question I want to address to all of you, tell us a bit about your own story, about growing up in Africa, and what led you to the path where you are today. Father Maurice?
Thank you very much, Father Joseph Mary. My name is Father Maurice Agbo-Ebi, as Father Joseph said. I am a priest of the Diocese of Mamfe in Cameroon. I was born in Mamfe, which is a little town in the southwest region of Cameroon, bordering Nigeria. And I grew up in a normal Catholic home, was raised Catholic by my family, especially by my mom. I went to a Catholic primary school or elementary school. And for high school, I went to a government school. It was in that context that I began thinking about the priesthood, especially when I was in high school. And I was like, okay, the missionaries were gradually handing over the faith, the responsibility of spreading the faith to the African clergy. And so I was seeing Africans, Cameroonians that were becoming priests.
Father Valentine, tell us a bit about your story.
Thank you, Father Joseph Mary, for this opportunity to be part of this program. I was born in Owerri, in the eastern part of Nigeria. I like to tell people I'm kind of an ideal Nigerian because I was born in the eastern part of the country. I grew up in the western part, Lagos. And then I had my seminary training and then my priestly. I lived in Abuja, the northern part of the country. The story to the priesthood goes back to when I was in the secondary school. We had my private school was a private secondary school owned by a very pious Catholic who is late now. So we had young Catholic students. And so I was a member of that and a very active member. And it was my responsibility every week to arrange for school mass. So I would go to my parish, my pastor then, who is late, Father Flynn, would come. So like a good Catholic boy, I would go get the chasuble, get the vestment, get the mass prepared, and make sure everybody is in shape before Father comes and all that. So, and that's how it was. So when I started thinking of going to the seminary, it was also my pastor, Father Flynn, I owe a lot to him, who was a member of the St. Patrick Fathers. At that time, they were in charge of the formation of the MSP because MSP was a young congregation without priests as much. And so the Nigerian bishops entrusted the MSPs to the Ketigan Fathers to nurture us. So, and Father Flynn was a member of that congregation. When I thought of going to the seminary, he just said, "Valentine, you are going to the MSPs." And he wrote a recommendation. And so I've been a priest Thanks be to God, since this is 22 years now as a priest, and the missionary priesthood has taken me to places that I never imagined I would have ever been to. So I'm grateful to God, to the church, and to my congregation for the many opportunities I've had. I've worked in many places, studied in Italy, worked in South Africa, taught in the seminary in Nigeria, and I'm here in the United States. So I can be grateful enough.
Wonderful. Now, George, you help EWTN spread throughout Africa. Talk about your own background and how you got involved with EWTN.
My journey to EWTN has been a journey of providence in very many respects, because in my early days, I went to seminary. I went to a seminary called St. Thomas Aquinas Major Seminary. And before that, I was a product of the Catholic school system in Cameroon, having attended the junior seminary, Bishop Rogan College, and Christ the King College before that. But in the seminary, in my seminary days, I encountered a movement that was a pro-life movement started off by Father Paul Marx, which is Human Life International. Yes. And this led me to volunteer first. Then later on, I became responsible for implanting Human Life International in many parts of Africa. And I've done this for well over 24 years. I have been with EWTN for 14 years, and my responsibility has been to help spread awareness and increase a knowledge and understanding of EWTN in Africa. And it's been a real blessing to me, because it's brought me to places I never thought I would ever go to. It has led me to people I never knew I would meet. And things are just getting better every day. We just started programs from Africa. And the question used to be, when shall we see African faces on EWTN? Mm. And this is a special day for me, because Father Maurice is there, Father Inacho is there, I'm here. It couldn't ever get more African than this.
So let's talk about the vitality of the church in Africa. Father Maurice, talk about the growth in vocations. Africans are now coming to the United States. Talk about the growth in the Christian faith and even the ability to speak in the public square. Father Maurice?
Yes. The church in Africa is really, I would say, it's at its springtime now. It's growing remarkably. At the start of the last century, Africa south of the Sahara had about 2 to 3 million Catholics. But presently, Africa is home to over 236 million Catholics, and it keeps growing and growing. Vibrant dioceses, seminaries, religious congregations. And I think the pontificate of John Paul II played a great role in fostering the growth of the church in Africa. Precisely the pastoral visits to the continent. John Paul II visited almost all the countries in Africa and really actively promoted evangelization and enculturation. So his pontificate was, from the perspective of the church in Africa, a very decided implementation of the Second Vatican Council. And so that has seen the church in Africa pick up, you know, it has become what Paul the Sixth said, the first pope, a modern pope to Africa south of the Sahara. When he went to Uganda, he said, you Africans must be missionaries to yourself. Yes. That the church in Africa must become missionaries to itself. And that has been received with great generosity. We have congregations now, for example, like the MSP, that are local, indigenous, born from the continent, sending missionaries across the world. So Africa is Christ's new homeland, if you want to put it that way, Christ's new homeland, in which the gospel is seen not as as antithetical to human flourishing. Mm. The gospel is perceived by many Africans as a liberation, as enrichment, mm. as a beautiful experience.
Yes. You know,
yes. So that explains why there is so much attraction to Christianity, Catholics, and other Christian confessions.
Father Valentine, talk a bit about your community, the Missionaries of St. Paul, and also about the vitality of the church in Africa.
Okay, yeah. As Father has rightly said, we are a product of the African church. So the Missionary Society of St. Paul was established formally in 1977, precisely on Mission Sunday, to signify what it stands. And so we had our first priest in 1985. And after that, it's been pouring of blessings. Of course, Nigeria is one of the countries in Africa spearheading the vocation boom in Africa. The Missionary Society of St. Paul is actively present in many countries in Africa. Cameroon is one of the first places we started our mission work, in Boya Das, to be precise. US, the United States of America, is one of the first places, 1986. Liberia, our priests were all in Liberia during the war, and one of them unfortunately lost his life due to war-related issues. Then we went to Botswana. These were the very first places we went, and then we are expanding. So when we look at the church in Africa, it is really very active. I was taken aback recently. Cardinal Robert Sarra visited. I don't want to be polemical, but I disagree with him on the issue. He said the liturgy is too noisy. And probably having lived in Europe for many years, he appears to have forgotten the African spirit. When you participate in a liturgy in any part of Africa, it's a celebration. And I remember when I went to South Africa newly. Of course, if you've been to South Africa and Botswana and Lesotho, the liturgy is just it's electrifying. So when I tried, because I had three places to do mass every Sunday, and I say, people, we have to make it as snappy as possible. Oh, they didn't like it. And then they took me to the bishop. No, Father is cutting short the dancing, the singing, and all that. But I had to adjust. So that's the African liturgy, we might say, is too long, yes. But I think I prefer we have it than not people not coming to church at all. And if we say we are Easter people, liturgy is celebration of life, yes. The resurrection. Yeah, so I'm quite comfortable with it.
Now, George, you've traveled all over the continent. What's been your experience about the vitality of the African church?
My travels across Africa have been very enriching. Enriching in the sense that you go from one country to the other, and you see exactly the same faith, but you find this faith expressed in refreshing and new ways. If you go to the DR Congo, there's always a special rite and some special way of doing something. You come to Nigeria, you find the vibrancy of the celebration. And you know, each country you go to has something fresh and something new it brings to the faith. One of the things that I've enjoyed across the continent is going to ordinations. It's always something that warms my heart, having gone to the seminary myself. In fact, in my home church province, where Father Morris actually comes from, we had 40 ordinations this last ordination season. Now, wow. 40 ordinations in 1 year is a lot. It's a sign that the church has a future, not only locally, but in terms of sharing the faith and what has happened as both as missionaries and fidei donum priests. We have a vocation boom, our numbers are growing, but there are some African countries where the numbers are falling. And in terms of the Catholics, we see the overall number of Christians growing, but the number of Catholics not growing as much as the number of Christians, which brings onto the table the conversation about the role or the impact of evangelicals in Africa, which is a big role. And I think it's one of the challenges that every church in Africa really has to look at, because it will affect the way the faith pans out and the way in which we are able to grow as a church and as a people of God.
Well, let's talk a bit about the history of the faith being brought there. Where did these missionaries come from? And what was their effect that came like about 100 years ago to Africa and implanted the faith? Father Maurice, could you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I think that after the evangelization of Africa has had a long history to it. You know, initially there were contacts between contacts with Northern Africa that goes way back to the first, second centuries. Mm-hmm. The vibrancy, the contributions of Augustine, Tertullian, Cyprian, Origen, the whole ecclesia reality of Northern Africa had a great contribution to the faith. It's not possible to talk about Christian theology without Augustine of Hippo, for example.
Right, right.
Then there was also the contact with Ethiopia, but the massive outreach towards Africa south of the Sahara, it's a phenomenon that in many ways was pushed by the encyclical Maximum Eliud, the great work that it gave, that pushed the sending of missionaries under the auspices of Propaganda Fide, the Vatican dicastery for evangelization. So there were missionaries from Europe that came. Usually the missionaries followed the colonial patterns. So in French-speaking countries, there'll be missionaries from France. In English-speaking countries, there'll be missionaries from England, Ireland, St. Patrick's. So this wave of missionary movement from Europe encountered a lot of initial implanting of the gospel. And with that, you could see the seed of the faith being planted. But Paul the Seed's pontificate opened a new chapter, because there in Uganda, when he ordained bishops and then started what is called the Symposium of the Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, SECAM, it kind of gave African nations the structure of the episcopacy in which they were to work together. They were to have a co-responsibility for the faith. So that initial sowing of the seed by missionaries from largely Europe was taken over by Africans themselves. And through enculturation, as Father Valentine was talking about the liturgy, you know, enculturation, we own the faith that has been preached to us, and that has seen a massive explosion, a massive growth in the faith.
Father Valentine, you talked about St. Patrick being the second patron of Nigeria, where you are from, after Our Lady. Talk about those early missionaries, and also, as Father Maurice was speaking about, the transfer to the African church.
Okay, let me build a little bit on what Father Maurice has said. There is a strong link, you know, with the time of the conquistadors, the time of exploration. That will be, or that was, the second contact with Christianity, with Portuguese missionaries and the sailors coming to Africa. But that second stage, the DRC today, Zaire, remember, the first daughter of the African church is the Zaire, because there the Congo king converted, even the son was ordained in Rome by Leo X. So that's a very strong moment for the history of the African church as we have it today. Another important segment, which people do not realize, that the church in Africa as we have it today owes a lot to the American church, because in 1842, after the Baltimore Council, yes, the American church sent, because they had these so-called ex-slaves from America. Liberia was just discovered, and it didn't have a Catholic presence. So 1842, there were three of them. I think the first one is Father Barron, and the other priest, I can't remember his name, with a catechist. They went to this place to start what we have today as a church. And Father Barron, Edward Barron, yes, after toiling, he went to Rome, was received by the prefect of Propaganda Fide, and who recommended to him, look, the founder today, we call the Francis Lieberman of the Spiritans, had founded, he made his own congregation with the Congregation of the Heart of Mary. And so he was willing, but of course, you know, then you had this system in place, EU's commissiones. So a territory is given to a particular congregation, they fundraise, they found the vocation. The bishop also came from them. So no other congregation could come into that area. If you went in, you had to go there as an auxiliary missionary.
Yes.
So the Propaganda Fide put in contact Bishop Barron, who was ordained for, it was called the Diocese of, was a prefecture of West Africa. And so it covered a large territory.
Thank you, Father Valentine. That gives us a little bigger perspective there on the growth of the church and the importance of the missionary work there. So George, you've been involved in helping to spread EWTN throughout Africa. Could you talk about the value of the media today in the formation of the faithful, and how is EWTN having a positive impact on the growth of the faith in Africa?
Thank you, Father. The value of the media cannot be overestimated. In Africa, we have a lot of... Africa is one country where internet penetration is growing really, really exponentially. This means that things which are available on the media in other countries and other parts of the world are available to Africa to today. The challenge is the church in Africa has not sufficiently occupied that space. Again, that space is largely and unfavorably occupied by evangelical media. Therefore, when EWTN comes into the picture, EWTN plugs a very big hole. We are available in every country. We are doing programs from many countries. We are drawing resources from all the countries in Africa where we can find some. And we are helping local Catholic radio and television stations to grow their potential, to be able to reach far out to more people. And we are trying to work as much as we could with young people and with large groups like we've done in Kenya, in Nigeria, and in Ghana. This is just a summary of what we are able to do. And we're going to lots of events, like the Martyrs Day in Uganda. We're going to go to the Eucharistic Congress in Antirana in Madagascar come August. So we are trying to be present as a Catholic media organization in the major events of the life of the church in Africa. And we're hoping that through this, we can increase potential, we can build potential, and we can partner with the church in Africa as a partner for evangelization.
Do you have an idea of the potential audience that we have there on television and radio?
Radio potential audience is about 24 million. This is Catholic radio only, and this is from all the way from Ethiopia down to South Africa. For television, we have two main affiliates. One is MultiChoice, based in South Africa. The other one is Star Times, which covers many countries of Africa, and with a total population, television homes of more than 100 million.
And I know that we're working also to be in the languages of Africa, of English and French and Portuguese, right?
We are doing not just that. I take this opportunity to salute the efforts of an archbishop like Archbishop Alaba Job of Ibadan, who made a lot of effort to have a lot of our programs available in the Yoruba language. Now we're working on getting a lot of our programs into French. We have over 200 episodes now translated and voiced over of our primetime speakers and presenters at EWTN. And this is receiving very, very good welcome in most parts of Africa.
Thank you so much. And thank you for all your contributions today. We look forward to having Father Maurice and Father Valentine on another program. And thank you, George, for being part of this program as well to help us to learn about EWTN's outreach, but also the church in Africa, and help our viewers know and appreciate that all the more. So thank you all for joining us, and we will see you here next week for another episode of The Catholic Sphere. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.